Oh, hey there, everybody. I'm Guy Branum, and welcome to Pop Rocket, a new weekly show picking over the pop culture we all love to love. With me to talk TV, film, music, and anything else entertaining, our journalist, Margaret Wobbler. Oh, hey there, Margaret.
Oh, hey there, Guy.
Digital strategist, Winter Mitchell.
Hello.
And comedian, Santina Muha.
Hi.
Hey there, Santina. And to start us off, I want to go around the studio and have each of you tell us what piece of pop culture you are all about this week. Winter, what you into?
I'm really into Ice Cube premiered or previewed the trailer for the NWA movie, which is going to be at the end of this year.
Uh-huh.
And it was caught on YouTube. Somebody was clever and caught it. And I am so excited for this movie. I can't wait to see like a Californian grown story go from this small community and how they blew up and their music is legendary and then get to this point. I'm actually really excited that Cube and Dre were in the same room and collaborated on this.
Well, to me, a very interesting aspect of that is just the whole idea of all of our, like, black music biopics have been very much rooted in civil rightsy nobility.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to something that's a little bit...
raucous.
Yes.
Buck wild. The trailer is amazing. It's not official, but it's just, it's rugged. It's raw. I cannot wait.
Santina, what are you into?
Celebrity Apprentice is back. And I love that show, you guys. It's part of the reason I want to be famous so I can get on Celebrity Apprentice. Is that backwards? I love that show.
It's the most fun.
And this year we have Ian Ziering from 90210, and I am a huge Beverly Hills 90210 loyal supporter of all things. So I'm going to root for him. He's also a good old Jersey boy, so that's double points in my book.
I'm not comfortable with the sheer number of Real Housewives and other reality stars on that show.
Yeah.
You should be a celebrity in your own rights and then be a celebrity on a celebrity reality show. If we're just grabbing people from Real Housewives, mm-hmm. then it's just the Real World Road Rules Challenge.
Well, that's the thing. The guys' side, right? Like, so the first episode, they split them, the males and the female groups. And right now, the men have way more star power. Like, you know what I mean? Because we have a lot
of
reality.
They got the Geraldo edge.
Yeah, they have, like, two gymnasts and then two housewives and, like, Lisa Gibbons on the girls.
But that's what you want in Celebrity Apprentice. You want that Mary Lou Henner. You want that Holly Robinson Pete who's going to be able to see the whole big picture.
Yeah. But on the men's side, I mean, I don't know. You have some bigger, more powerful athletes, I feel like.
That's hard.
And there's not one brunette.
Can I ask a dumb question? Who are the apprentices to?
Donald
Trump. Oh. And then he's got his little wingman. He's got Ivanka, who's so beautiful. And then he's got his son, who's...
He's got his son and then his doughier son.
Yeah.
So this show's been running for a long time, right?
Yes, honey.
Yes. Okay. And no one wants to watch him apprentice real people anymore. Now you just want to watch people who are on 90s sitcoms try to sell lemonade for $1,000.
Yeah, exactly.
And then Donald yells at them about why they didn't call their other famous friend to get more money.
And yeah, and Geraldo's already starting in with the douche city, so I'm excited.
He's so gross.
Yeah.
Margaret, what are you into this week?
Well, I got immersed in Miranda July's upcoming novel called The First Bad Man. And I don't know how familiar you guys are with her work. You know, she has Me and You and Everyone We Know from 2005, big Sundance hit. She's a strange lady. And this book is equally strange, but it's exciting to me because it explores sex, female sexuality without being typically sexy.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's not the usual paradigm. For instance, the main relationship in the book is between two women, 20 years in difference. The older one is like a frumpy 40-year-old, you know, classic unmarried type. And then the younger one is like a 20-year-old blonde bombshell. It's just the weirdest combination you've ever seen. And it makes no sense, and I found it very delightful.
It's so interesting that sort of, like, big, weird choices like that from men are so frequently taken as, like, big, bold, artistic choices, and from women are quirk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, what's interesting is I interviewed her about this book recently, and she was talking about how, like, the blonde bombshell is sold to all of us, not just men. It's sold to women. It's sold to the world over. You know, it's Marilyn Monroe.
Yeah.
And so in a way, we're all, like, consuming it, whether we're, like, hetero, straight, women, men, whatever. And so she kind of, like, took that on and developed it more. I mean, it's also interesting to me, this is disgusting, but the blonde is not sexy because she has a really smelly foot infection the entire book.
Just her foot. What? Oh, man. Yeah.
So just put that in there, too.
Jesus Christ, what is this book?
I know.
It sounds fascinating.
It's like you know how some artists, when they get a little older, they either go like deeper weird or they get more safe?
Yeah.
Like, she's just going deeper weird.
That's,
you know,
what I
like,
love.
Yeah, she's just like, screw it, I'm me, I'm going in, people.
Those people who...
You look scared, so Sandina.
I don't... Well, I just don't know why. But,
know.
You know, she's a writer. She had to come up with some details. I love it.
Tina,
I don't know. I just don't understand what that has
what
to do
reply.
With...
What a reply. What an endorsement.
Well, I just don't know where, like, what made her think, oh, I know. And I'll give her a foot infection.
No, but it's just like Chuck... How do you say his name? Polonic.
Yeah,
Polonic.
It's just like an outrageous detail. That,
yeah, that's how he is. He's like, what's the most ridiculous thing I can possibly conjure? Okay, I'm going to build a whole narrative around it. Sell tons of books. Just work.
Women aren't supposed to be ridiculous.
Exactly.
You're supposed to be attractive and conventional and blonde bombshells.
And quiet.
This week, I'm all
like
about...
pumpkin spice.
But not sassy spice.
Not sassy spice.
I miss pumpkin spice. Like, I miss pumpkin spice.
Is it gone already?
It's gone already.
Jeez, they don't waste time.
I don't like the winter things. It's terrible.
They just, January 1st, just done. Do they give you a warning?
No. Pumpkin stuff is gone?
It sounds like
it. In November, they switch over, or I guess December, to like gingerbread and eggnog, and I don't want an eggnog latte.
You can still get pumpkin spice tazo tea. Just P.S.
I don't care. I this week I'm all about so like all of your year end lists are coming out, and in the stand up comedy community, you tend to have like four or five of them, and everybody gets very upset that they're not on lists. So this guy, a comic here in L.A., Zach Broussard, put together a list of the top 1,000 stand-up comedians of 2014 so far. And it was the most beautiful piece of, like, little semi-private performance art, because he spent 4 days typing in names and then everybody's reaction of, like, getting pissed off about where you were on the list. Like, the people who weren't on the list, because even at 1,000 people, they were, like, comedians who were, like, very much on the scene here or in New York who weren't on the list, who were feeling self-conscious. And it's just so funny that it was just such a beautiful reminder of, this is all pointless. You'll never be happy with anything.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And it was such a beautiful way of, like, going into a new year and facing some lists that, you know, one that I was on and a lot that I wasn't on. And
that's funny you bring that up, because 30 Before 30 list came out for Forbes, and a lot of my friends are on that. Congratulations to all of you guys. And I was waking up, and everybody that was on it was like, I can't believe. And they're all so humble and amazing. Like, amazing, really brilliant.
And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of self-promotion.
And there's nothing wrong with a little bit of self-promotion. But I was thinking to myself, God damn it, I'm not on this list, and I'll never make it. I'm 5 years out of this list. Could I have been on this list? You start thinking to yourself, like, was I supposed to be on this list? And then you, like, let go. It's like a weird version of, like, mental FOMO, because you're wondering, like, what did I not achieve yet that I should have put me on this list?
Ayelet Waldman, who's Michael Chabon's wife?
Yes.
Went on a little meltdown about not being on a New York Times list. And I've always hated her as the useless princess of the lady hipster writers. And she has periodic meltdowns that are super annoying. And this was just, like, stop being so entitled. There's no reason I should like Myla Goldberg more than you, other than you being terrible.
Yeah, it was a pretty interesting, honest, raw moment. I mean, in a way, I felt like it was... it's true, though. They do make everyone crazy. She was just the person who went on Twitter and actually admitted it.
Which is what I love about Twitter, so it's... I should not have this attitude towards Ayelet Waldman. Maybe she's just a Jewess too much like myself.
It's so sad if you actually start comparing yourself to people. Like, you need that endorsement to go on.
I know, right. But that's what we do. I think we do it.
I mean, especially if you
can't do it.
You're a freelancer. We're comics. They're structureless. You're
a freelancer too. Yeah.
Yeah. When you're in a structureless field, you're always looking for these things that say, like, you're all right. You're doing okay.
Yeah.
And it's understandable that you grab hold of those things. And do you know how many times in my life I felt uncertain or whatever and then said, Guy, You've been on TV a lot.
Exactly. Or like,
guy,
exactly.
You were the gay friend in a movie. Keep walking. All right. Coming up on this show, we got musical recommendations and our panel's most shameful media confessions. But first, this.
As I lay me down to sleep, I hear her speak to me. Hello, Mari. How you doing? I think the storm and out of rain, the clouds are moving. I know you're happy, 'cause I can see it. So tell the boys inside your head to believe it.
So you've probably heard or watched it trend on your social media this week, but Kanye West and Paul McCartney have collaborated on a song, Only One. Winter, Kanye's your friend. Why don't you tell us about it?
He's my idol. So Only One is a song that he wrote in collaboration with Paul McCartney. I don't know if you've ever heard of him. He's a new buck coming up straight out of England. He wrote this song with his mother sort of speaking through him to his daughter, Nori, Northwest.
And Kanye's mom is dead. That was unsubtle.
Thanks, guy.
I'm sorry.
Kanye's mom passed.
That's like, just so you know, that's like if Let It Be and Beautiful Boy had a baby child song.
Yeah. Yeah, it's beautiful. Nice. It's so sweet.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And especially really good because Yeezus was so aggressive. And by the way, I love Kanye in all facets. So Yeezus was so aggressive. This is sort of like way down tempo, and it's sweet. And, you know, and you can feel the love in it when you listen to it. It made me cry.
But there was sort of like a little, there was a Twitter moment of people who were Kanye fans not knowing who Paul McCartney was.
Which is absolutely ridiculous. If you can, if you breathe air and have breathed air for at least the minimum of the last 15 to 20 years, you should know. No one under the age of 12. Should be asking that question.
No one over the age of 12.
One under the age of 12. Yes, I'm sorry. No one, if you were raised well under the age of 12, would count as well.
Everybody should know who the Beatles are. You should be able to identify
Beatles. You should be able to say, I've heard them, I don't like them. I will accept that.
I'm going
to
say all Beatles, at least one of the Spice Girls, and your big three hot dog condiments, every human being in America should be able to identify them.
Also, if you know what Twitter is, you know what Google is. And then you can Google Paul McCartney's name.
Right. Boom. Because people literally made a snap decision and went straight to the Twitter without consulting all these references here for you.
Do you think it was shtick? Do you think it was just Twitter being ironically
pretend
stupid?
Colin thinks everybody was being ironic. I think these people are absolutely that stupid. Twitter's a very big world of stupidity.
It's entirely possible that Colin Anderson, our producer, who is British, looks at America and says, they can't possibly be that stupid.
Every hour he thinks that.
I thought it was beautiful.
Margaret, what are your thoughts on the song?
Well, I love the line in the song, no, you're not perfect, but you're not your mistakes. That line to me is like one of these moments when Kanye is just like a real human being. Like some of the bullshit, the bravado, the crazy ego like drops away and he's human and he's warm. And that's what I respond to. I thought it was very interesting and kind of a reverse ego move for Paul McCartney to be so down in this mix, so not an important factor.
So am I correct that he just plays keyboards? Does he not sing?
Yeah. He plays keyboard.
Oh, that's crazy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So he's not, you know, coming in there with the big Paul McCartney voice.
And let me tell you something about that. That is an honor to literally have someone who's just as, and well-deserved. They both have well-deserved egos. But for him to take a step back, because I feel like Kanye's such a force, like, that's a great collaboration. I like this collaboration. It wasn't like, say, where they were just like,
I thought about that too.
Like, you know, it was just like, we're going to, you know.
Okay. A, The Girl Is Mine is an amazing, amazing.
Say is better.
No, The Girl Is Mine is the best. And would you like my other deeply controversial Paul McCartney opinion?
Okay.
I kind of like Wings more than
Love Wings.
The Beatles.
It's
not actually true. But like Wings is just such beautiful 70s ethereal pop.
Mm-hmm.
It's like silly love songs or what's the Christmas song? Wonderful Christmas Time.
Yeah. I love that song.
I like that song.
It's so
yeah,
wonderful.
It's just like a big feathered haircut, the wings. Right. You know? And you just want
to
look at it.
The Beatles went through too much trauma for me to really, because I know so much after the fact. I didn't have the luxury of growing up with the beauty of it. I just, there was so much drama and hysterics and
every third song is genius. Every third song is, so they discovered India.
Right.
Or whatever they discovered this week.
Right.
But like, do you think your moms and dads are more likely to know who Kanye is, or your nieces and nephews are more likely to know who Paul McCartney is?
My mom and dad both know who Kanye and Paul are.
But that's the situation of them being both baby boomers and black. So they're well positioned for those.
You just cut straight to the core, don't you, guy?
No, that's a good question.
Jesus. I am stuck on that one. Come back to me, Santina.
I'm sorry.
It's a good question.
But your parents look Generation X. Never tell me.
I don't know. I think like equal. I think it's pretty equal.
Yeah.
I think it's, just as likely for someone older to hear that song and say, wow, whoever this guy is singing on this Paul McCartney song has a future.
Well, and I also think Kanye has...
right?
But
they're not on Twitter, so they didn't say that. Maybe they said it in their living rooms, but who heard them?
A lot of Kanye's music may not be the most approachable, but he's married to Kim Kardashian. So, like... you don't not know who Kim Kardashian is, and you don't not know who she's married to.
I think my mom would have like only the vaguest idea who Kanye is, but she would listen to this song and she'd be like, "Oh, that's sweet,
yeah, that's cute." It's
yeah,
nice,
and then you could
tempo.
Play Bound 2 for her, please. Next,
you're Bound 2. So Santina will have to revisit that some point.
I will.
And Bound 2 discussion. I'm going to defend it till I die.
Can I just say, if we can start at this moment, just getting the groundswell we need for Gina Gershon and Jennifer Tilly to get together to make Bound 2 the
that
movie.
That would be... And then it would have to, he'd have to do the trailer.
But who would play Brad Reputation? I can't, you guys. I can't. It's not real words.
What a Brad Reputation.
I don't get it. It's not real words.
You got to look at the rap lyrics site. Decipher it yourself and define it. Just do it. I'm giving you an assignment.
All right.
All right, we have an official assignment.
Yes.
She's supposed to look at some rap lyric site.
Yes, I forget what the name of the site is.
All right, you're such like a specific and nurturing mentor.
I know.
All right, the only one released was
Joe Clark.
The only one released was just the start of last week's intergenerational musical feuding. Yesterday, Coachella? I have no idea.
Have you been there?
No. Burning Man with Music published their lineup for 2015. And Winner emails us summarizing it thus. Why don't you say it?
Love when I play myself. Millennials are already bitching. It's boring and old farty, to which I say, screw you. Over to you.
I hate live music. I hand this conversation over to you ladies.
I'm excited for this lineup. I'm really, really excited. I have to tell you that AC/DC is one of my favorite bands, so I will probably pull my hip on Friday. Saturday is Jack White, and usually Saturday is the big party night, so it's going to be real hard to tear me away from those fairgrounds.
Uh-huh.
Neon Carnival, I'm talking about you. And then Sunday night is Drake, and that's just going to be a panty dropper. I mean, how am I going to recover?
Saturday seemed like it was more, because I know nothing of Coachella, but Saturday seemed like it was more sort of like turgid men proud of themselves for liking music. And Sunday was like Florence and the Machine and Drake.
They schedule it out because they want you to get high and then they want you to come down. And then if you want to supplement those highs and lows, you know, do so at your own leisure. But then I think the biggest thing about this year compared to last year was just, I say this all the time, but a little too on the nose. And it's also so disparate.
Like what? Who was last year?
Last year, oh God, if I can barely remember last year. I remember there was some Arcade Fire in the mix that really helped things.
Yes.
It really helped things. I remember there was some Disclosure and Lana Del Rey, and mm-hmm. and there was some Outkast, which unfortunately just did not pull it together.
Oh, really? That's sad.
That's right. They didn't really pan out so well.
Mm-mm.
You know, I think for me with this lineup this year, I just miss the sense of it being curated. Like, I miss like a certain kind of cool factor that I feel like has been there before. It feels super disjointed in a way that's not interesting to me. Like, I mean, AC/DC for me, I don't know. I just feel like it doesn't, like Steely Dan, if we're going to go just like dad moments in rock, like
yes.
I am more into the Steely Dan.
But I kind
Dan,
of want
way
more moms and dads there. I kind of need Coachella to have a babysitter.
But
I'm
where
sorry.
Would they use the bathroom? Because I feel like that's
they
important.
Have to get the VIP
that's,
ticket.
They have to get
and
the VIP
that's not going to happen.
The trailers are smaller in the VIP.
I could bring Steely Dan all day. Parents, they'll.
Can you imagine parents walking by the Sahara tent and going, "What the hell is that? I just want to see Steely Dan. What did we come down here to?"
Right, and like, what does EDM stand
what
for?
What does EDM stand for? They're all taking
do,
notes.
Other than Winter, do the two of you go to music festivals? Do you like this experience?
I have been to Coachella something like 7 or 8 times, but I have never paid for a ticket. It's always been for work or
I'm a journalist. I just breeze in.
I just saunter on in with my VIP wristband. So I would not probably go otherwise. I mean, this particular year is starting at $375. I mean,
yes.
That's a lot to drop. And not to mention you got to book your hotel and you have to do that like a year in advance. And it's just crazy times.
So
craziness.
Is it a thing that it's getting so expensive that people in their 20s just don't have the ability to go as much?
No. I think it runs on so much like rich trust funder kid fuel. I mean, when you go there, that's what it is.
Look, that was just me asking the question that Colin gave us. The real question I have for you is a two-parter.
Yeah.
A, what do you look for in shitshow Coachella fashion? And then my B is, you're showing up, you're a lady and a journalist. Do you go balls to the wall with your outfit or do you feel like you have to be serious?
You know, I always laugh every year when I go there and there's some little slip of a girl wearing like little tiny flip flops and like the terry cloth shorts and a bikini top because it's the desert. And what it does around 6 p.m. is it
Educate
gets
us.
Really cold on your ass.
Yes.
And like that poor girl is like,
and they start
you know
crying.
What I mean? Yeah.
You see at least 2 people crying every year.
Oh, that's wonderful.
It's so beautiful.
Yeah. And that's why the beer tent is also really popular because you got to get drunk.
Santina, music festivals.
Not huge on the music festivals. I wasn't kidding about the bathroom question. I don't like to go places where I can't escape and, you know what I mean?
You
I
can't escape it.
You can't. When I was at Rutgers, that we used to have every year Rutgers Fest, and it would be, and Kanye was there 1 year and Ludacris was there 1 year. And the year Ludacris was there, I got, first it was like a Fish cover band. And so everyone was real mellow. And then I was in the middle kind of doing this like mellow music festival dance and grooving. And then Ludacris came out and I almost literally died. Literally. They had to pick me up and pass me forward over the like the little gate thing that separates front row from the stage. And they had to lift me into a security
literally while
hand.
He's singing Move Bitch.
Literally, yeah. Yeah.
Literally.
And then I got to go backstage every year for that festival, which was great.
Awesome.
But as far as just like being amongst the commoners, no.
It's just insufferable being pushed around. Everybody's moving, but not really dancing.
I don't want to be too hot. I don't want to be too cold. Do you know what I mean? It feels like every extreme of.
But you
of,
learn. You go through
well,
it.
If
and
I
then
were
you
younger,
learn.
If yeah. I were living on the West Coast or closer to Coachella when I were younger,
yeah,
I would have gone. But now I'm like, I'll just DVR it. Can you?
They did have a live stream. So some years they've done that.
That sounds
just
add
30
as
minutes extra for
average.
I, as I said, only care about the fashions. I just want to see girls in yarn art. I want to
see. You will see
oh,
that.
I think there's going to be so much yarn art this year. I think yarn is making a huge comeback.
You see a lot of floral headbands. You see a lot
feathers,
of feather headdresses.
I want to do that. I would like to dress the part.
Well, also, like, both Coachella and Burning Man, the rich people who want to go and have this experience without actually in any way being outside or dusty, I think is hilarious and also the worst.
Right.
Your tech friends.
I don't want anything to do with
and
them.
Here's another thing. It's like when I go to a concert, I'm usually kind of bored during the opening act. I feel like this is like 47 opening acts and then three. I don't know.
No, you get to sort of. Here's
you,
the rule.
You mingle. You walk around.
All right.
Unless you're, I've covered it as a journalist, but covering it, as just going as a regular person attending, the rule is you got to sacrifice a few artists and you got to go when the sun starts going down.
Okay.
Yes, that helps.
Yes.
Okay.
About the lower acts on the bill. We've got Chet Faker. We've got Alice in Wonderland. We've got DJ Harvey. Have ironic patting yourself on the back pun band names, have they been destroyed by At Midnight? Can we no longer do this when it just feels like a hashtag game?
I could listen to bad puns all day.
Why we're friends, Wappler. You're listening to Pop Rocket. We'll be right back after this.
I listen to Bullseye for the moment when Jesse asks an artist an insightful question and the artist goes, oh, huh, and pauses. And you can hear in the pause that he is reassessing his own work in light of the question that Jesse just asked.
Bullseye's your guide to what's good from MaximumFun.org and NPR.
Welcome back to Pop Rocket, you guys. I'm your host, Guy Branum. With me in the studio are Winter Mitchell, Margaret Wappler, and Santina Muha. Every week on Pop Rocket, we'll ask our panel, what's your current jam? And so we don't get too cool and full of ourselves. Also, what's the most shameful piece of media you've consumed in the past week? Then we'll vote on which is the worst. Margaret, what do you listen to?
Well, I went to go see Inherent Vice a few days ago, and the opening title shot is set to this amazing can song called Vitamin C. And it's just such a stylish, splashy, big intro to this movie. It's just completely fitting. The thing that I love about it, too, is that, of course, this song is from like 1972, 73, something like that. But it sounds contemporary. There's amazing drums in it. And it just reminded me all over again, oh, can. And I love having that moment with a movie.
Colin, can we hear a little bit of that song? When is this from?
72, 73.
Oh, that's crazy.
I know, right? Sounds like it could have been made, like, now.
Yeah. All right, Santina, what's your jam?
She gets me every time. It's Taylor Swift. I mean,
I wish everybody could see the face you just made. It was so adorable.
I try to pick something less, you know, cliche, but God, I love how many different types of, you know, tunes there are in one song. You know what I mean? I love that part where she's like, don't say I didn't say I didn't. Oh, so good. She's good.
You're talking about Blank Space, right?
Blank Space, yeah.
Yes. And it's fun and subversive and like it's a little bit playing the crazy bitch stereotype, but that video is a delight.
It is. And I don't watch a lot of videos anymore, but I watched that one. It's good.
I've gotten into a lot of Facebook fights stemming from Taylor Swift and my vehement defense of teenage girl music. And I think it's just so easy for us to dismiss it as disposable pop because it's easy for us to dispose of like 15-year-old girls and say that their perspective and what their needs are don't matter.
Listen, I love Led Zeppelin. My last concert was Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers. Yeah. I'm not a Fruit Loop. But Taylor Swift, she's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally. I think it's she also gets slammed on, though, because she's not working in like a Led Zeppelin like rock framework. You know what I mean? Yeah. She is pop.
But right. That's not her
unabashedly,
thing.
Unabashedly. Yeah.
And if she did, then she would be criticized for that. You can't win, guys.
Well, nope. I do think we have a problem of like we lionize women who go into men's fields and try to do the men's things. But like, women's interests are devalued. Pop music, rom-coms, we don't respect these things. And it's entirely possible that 16-year-old girls are human beings. Winter, you're looking like I'm made of the foot disease that the woman in Miranda July's book
no!
has.
It stunk like Mama June's. No, I was going to say I agree. This song is like the biggest F.U. song. One of the biggest F.U. songs since the last F.U. song. This song is... It's so good, and especially, and I don't care if it's the wrong lyric. I still say godless Starbucks lovers. I always say that. What? I go, and at the top of my lungs, godless Starbucks lovers.
Colin, we want to hear some Starbucks lovers.
Starbucks lovers. Says, don't say I didn't warn you. That's like, I told you. I write your name.
This just has a good spirit to it.
Yeah.
It's funny.
And it's like,
fun.
Just one kind of... feel.
New money, suit and tie. I can read you like a magazine. I could dress in this song.
And I feel like as somebody who was sort of like sold to us as a product and maybe was a little bit of a product for a while, getting those lovely songs that come out of sort of like owning your own identity, you know, oh God, when the Dixie Chicks had people to yell at, like things went to the next level. And oh, you guys were having your romance with Kanye's song. And I was thinking like, oh, maybe when a guy gets softer, when he does that song after his first baby, it's a good thing. But as somebody who, I gender things too much, as somebody who likes female musical artists, when they have a baby, they get sappy and terrible. What I want is your messy divorce.
Ray of light? Thank you very much. How dare you?
Hey, everybody. For those of you who are just listening, I've been put in my place. All right. Winter, what is your jam?
I picked this jam because I was looking at Vine compilations, and I was happening to look at Kendall Jenner's Vine compilation, and she was listening to this song in her car, her Range Rover, and then, not Kendall, sorry, Kylie Jenner, the younger one, the youngest, and the song was playing in the background, R.L. Grime, Tell Me. And I was like, what song is this? And then God bless YouTube commenters. I scroll down. They're like, what song is this at 3:20? And somebody goes, it is R.L. Grime, Tell Me. And I was like, oh, okay. So I don't usually love this genre of music. I'm kind of a snob about like EDM. But I can get busy to this song. I can get ready to this song. I can drive my car to this song. I can work and write and work out to it. So it's a very versatile song. And that's why it is my jam of the week.
All right, let's hear it.
It's supposed to be heard at like volume 20, Colin. Thank you.
Yeah.
It starts really slow and then it kind of gets into that sort of EDM-ish, but like a nice, like easy listen driving EDM.
Yeah, I'm into it. It's atmospheric.
Yeah, atmospheric.
Yeah.
Which club drugs should I do before listening to this song?
You're going to want to do Molly, guy.
Obviously.
All right, you guys. My jam is the Meryl Streep Stay With Me from Into the Woods. I am sorry to be so gay with all of my musical choices.
Oh, I love it.
One day soon I will stop. But I had a lot of issues with Into the Woods. Though there was a great piece that Rachel Schuchart wrote in something, I forget. But it was basically saying, this isn't the Into the Woods that you wanted, it's the Into the Woods that you got, and what's more Into the Woods than... But like, I had a real problem, like... all of those British accents were just like, I'm sorry, Colin, it's deeply offensive to you. But this is our story written by our artists. And even though it takes place in a fairy tale world, it's about not being, it's about questioning the path that you're on and sort of like a very American, like, we don't have a destiny, which is exciting and terrible. But I thought that Meryl Streep killed it in a thousand different ways. And this song, she sung in a bunch of different movies. But this is the closest we've ever gotten to Meryl Streep being a gigantic voice. And it was lovely.
Princes, yes, but wolves and humans too. Stay at home. I am home. Who are they?
Wow.
Could love you more than I. What are they that I cannot supply? Stay with me.
The point is that, like, usually you get, like, a Bernadette Peters or a Felicia Rashad or a Vanessa Williams who's got this enormous voice doing the role, and you missed out on some of that with Meryl Streep.
She struck a nerve with Bernadette Peters somewhere right now. She's, like, felt that. She's like, oh!
It's all that she's got.
Jesus.
But like Meryl Streep was like giving subtlety and magic to that witch. Did any of you guys see it?
I haven't seen it yet, but I mean, just listening to that recording, like I'm impressed.
It's like in the middle of that song, she just, and I don't know what witchcraft or magic they use to make it sound like she's that good of a
Clearly
singer.
A lot, right? I mean, does she have pipes like that? I just don't know.
That sounded like her, guys.
Yeah, it sounded like her.
Yeah, that sounded like her.
No, and that's the thing is that she's streeping it the
Classic
whole way through.
Streeping it all day long.
And she doesn't get big in a lot of places, and the rap, she kind of because there was a Broadway rap in 1988 for Bernadette Peters. It's that level of rap. But she kind of fumbles it and doesn't give it what you want. But in Stay With Me, like, it tears your soul apart, and it's so good. All right, you guys, this is our first episode of Pop. Well, we said that we were going to do Most Embarrassing Moments.
Then let's do it. Why can't we?
Yes, why can't we? Colin, stop telling us what to do.
We're allowed. I'm just going to go right ahead and say it.
All right.
So while I was in my Reddit K-hole listening to Kendall or Kylie Jenner's Vine compilations, YouTube does this weird algorithm thing where you've been Googling something weird and then it pushes up in the middle of all the other weird stuff you're looking at. And I started listening to the Ted Bundy tape where he based the last conversation he has with the psychiatrist before he goes to the chair.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That sounds good. Oh my God.
It was, it's just been recently unearthed-ish. Oh my gosh. Like, it's just somebody uploaded it to YouTube.
You didn't listen to that before, like, a first date or anything?
No. But I listened to it one night and I, like, could not, I couldn't go to sleep for a couple hours
after
that.
What is he saying?
He's just like, I don't know if anybody knows who Ted Bundy is, but if you guys are all probably so young out there in a podcast land, but Ted Bundy
was not a Beatle.
He's not a Beatle.
Used to be this country produced real killers who took pride in their work.
He was a serial killer, one of the most notorious serial killers. He's like on the list of like most psychopathic. He's like one of the most best sociopaths in the world, best psychopaths in the world on that chart. That, you know, that chart.
10 best for 2014.
How many serial killers were mad that they were left off?
Yeah.
You can't top this guy. Anyway, he did some real weird shit. He got busted. He got tried with several different murders. He did some weird, you know, kinky shit.
And he was hot.
And he was attractive.
That was his thing.
In that, like, you know, John Ritter kind of way. Like, you know, Jack Tripper type of dude. You know, like, he was approachable, and that was sort of, like, his thing.
Yeah.
He would get girls to sort of, like, get into his car, and he would use different, like, scenarios where he'd lure them, and then he'd, you know, do...
He had nice hair, I think.
Yeah, he had really nice hair. And so this last conversation he had with his psychiatrist, who... It's interesting because psychiatrists have a tendency to fall in love with their patients and vice versa. He starts sort of talking and saying, you know, it was pornography that led him to murders. He was using any sort of way he could to get last minute clemency. And
I should have killed more people by now, I would
say. He's just a creepy fuck. And he does this thing where he starts talking real low like this and whispering. And I was like, oh no, internet, enough for tonight. Enough. You are bad, internet. That's
the bottom of the internet.
Yes.
Santina Muha.
Okay, The Hills is on Netflix, and I'm watching it again. I've seen them all. I don't know why. And then I'm doing this thing like, okay, I'll just watch it in the background because I've already seen it. But that, no. I love that part. Now I have to go back. I have to rewind it. I have to stop what I'm doing. I'm like sitting in my underwear because I'm like putting off the shower. Like, it's so... Also, by the way, I didn't live in L.A. when I watched it the first time, so now I'm watching it like this. Ooh, I ate there.
Yeah.
Ooh, I sat at that table. You know what I mean? So it's fun.
Have you seen The Only Way is Essex?
No.
It's an amazing British program that is essentially the Jersey Shore and The Hills brought together, that is just bad soap opera from hot, hot, hot people.
Okay, I'm going to watch
it. And it's in England.
Margaret, Most Embarrassing Media.
I have a confession. I hoard episodes of Hoarders. So I got home from, you know, like a two-week trip visiting my family, my husband's family. I look and see what I have saved on TV, and I see, oh, delicious, 6 episodes of The Hoarders that I haven't seen yet. I don't know if you guys watch this miserable show, but it's basically people, it's very sad, people living in their own filth, often involving animals and finding dead cats underneath their couch because they have not moved it in 15 years or whatever. But there's just something so compelling about it. These people, I don't know, it's very psychological, obviously. A lot of times these people are like victims of some sort of crime, and they literally build like a shelter around themselves of like objects and dead animals.
Margaret, are you promising to our listeners that you and I are going to create the official Pop Rocket Hoarders drinking game?
Oh, I love it. Every time there's a dead animal, you got to do a shot. And sometimes you're going to get really fucked up.
Okay. This week, I watched 2 episodes of Sex Sent Me to the ER on TLC.
Oh.
that included stories of a man getting testicular torsion from having sex in a treehouse, a woman who put a popsicle up her place where you shouldn't put popsicles.
Oh.
A guy on a rock tour. Oh, these are all reenactments. They're all reenactments. Yes.
I have a question about the popsicle.
Yes. Yeah.
Was it frozen or the stick?
No. It was a frozen popsicle. It was one of the red, white, and blue rockety ones.
Great.
So it didn't get stuck. So I'm going to guess she got an infection.
It was like she got ice cream head.
Yeah, it's cold.
But in her vagina.
Got it.
Oh,
a lot of nerves.
Okay.
A lot of nerve endings for such a cold treat.
Yeah. but it's non-union actors reenacting sexual scenarios. All right. So let the voting begin for who has the most embarrassing pop culture of the week. I am pointing directly at Santina Muha. Winter, who do you think is the most embarrassing?
It's Santina.
Margaret, do you agree?
I don't know. The vagina popsicle, pretty down low.
Santina, who are you voting for?
Me.
Of course.
Because I'm so embarrassed. I've already seen the whole thing.
No, let's shame her. Of course.
I would be more mad if you watched all of Friends and binge-watched Friends on Netflix. I'd be angry.
Oh,
I'd be like,
understand.
Are you sure
I understand.
That was the best use of your time? Are you sure?
Friends has written jokes. She's rewatching something that was only good.
Friends is available on 4 different networks at any given time and didn't need to be on Netflix.
Yeah. I agree.
So if you did that,
I did it.
Okay.
You guys, you've been listening to Pop Rocket, hosted by me, Guy Branum, with Winter Mitchell, Santina Muha, and Margaret Wappler. Max Fun listener Jason Clam suggested the name of our show. Thank you, Jason. You are our unofficial fifth Beatle. Our theme music is Party Booby Trap by Ozzy Mizo. Thanks to him for letting us use it. Let us know what you think of our show on the Max Fun Forum, Reddit, or Facebook page. We're a production of MaximumFun.org, and our producer is the very handsome Mr. Colin Anderson.
MaximumFun.org.
Comedy and culture.
Artist owned.
Listener supported.